Yes, sir. You already know what time it is. You already know what is going on. Your favorite cousins are back. Your favorite duo is now back in session. I am your host, Cam Silver.
And I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And Kyle, Sunday.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a game for the books, man.
Man, Sunday, the game started off so slow. So slow. But then after that, things started to kick into high gear, and we by the end of it, we had ourselves a classic.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
A big, big, big-time classic. But Kansas City was able to get out and defeat San Francisco 25-22 in overtime in the big game.
Came down to the very, very last play, too. That's, now talk about an actual big game coming down to the wire, you know what I mean?
Yeah, coming down to the ending. Mm-hmm. But, let's get into it. Some key moments that I've just put down. First, Christian McCaffrey ended up fumbling on first drive, and I had to look up when was the last time he fumbled. That was, like, back in October. Well, that was the last time that he fumbled. So, like, watching him fumble, I was like,
it was weird.
When was the last time that this happened? Then Kansas City, they go down to Patrick Mahomes, gets that crazy throw to, who was that, McCole Hardman. Down the field. They get the ball down in the red zone, basically. Then next thing you know, Pacheco fumbles, San Fran was able to capitalize finally on like a turnover after not capitalizing on any of the turnovers. They're finally up 10-3 in the first half, and going into the half, I was like, this is exactly where Kansas City kind of wants it, because this is what they're used to,
exactly,
in this game. And then Mahomes throws an interception to begin the second half, and I'm like, oh,
that was a big one. That was a big one, a really bad interception.
But then their defense stepped up.
Defense
stepped up. They didn't even let any points go. The punt return that was supposed to be a punt return for San Fran ends up becoming a fumble because it hits off of there. Well, one of the guys up.
It hits off the dude's foot. Other guy tried to pick it up, and then next thing you know, boom! All you see is Kansas City guys all over the ball. Mm-hmm. That was a bad one too.
Yeah,
there was like some costly like turnovers that could have been momentum shifts throughout the game.
Correct.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. No. Then that leads to a 13. Leads to a touchdown that would make it 13-10. One thing that I noticed, I'm pretty sure you noticed this too, and everybody I'm pretty sure noticed this, that the Chiefs never had control of this game because they never had control of the line.
Not since the beginning.
Offense or defense. They never had control at all. They couldn't get the Brock Purdy at all until they didn't get the pressures that they wanted on him until the end of the game.
I was about to say until it was like the fourth quarter.
Correct.
Didn't I tell you that this game would be won in the trenches, though? And then look what happened. When they needed to stop and they needed to get pressure on Brock Purdy,
they
were able to do it.
Yeah.
San Francisco's defensive line was not able to get to Patrick Mahomes and stop him. They couldn't stop a cough from coming out of mouth.
Yeah, by the end, because whatever adjustments that they are able to see is awesome to me, because they were able to shift everything. San Fran... took the ball first in overtime.
Terrible, terrible, terrible decision.
This will be something that we talk about just in a little bit. You know what I mean? I want to get through like some of the other stuff. You know that. So yes, they took the ball first in overtime, which obviously, as Kyle said, which was one of the worst mistakes ever known to man. Then let's see what else. Mahomes ran the ball on that last drive, bro.
Yeah.
The amount of times where we've already, you know, we've seen this before where he becomes a game manager and then becomes a game changer, becomes a game manager. This right here was him becoming a game changer and just saying, I'll do whatever I can to put the team on my back.
He's like, I got it. I got it. This is my stuff right here. I got it. I got it.
Easily. The fourth and ones, on the fourth and one, they ran a triple option, basically, where he could have gave it to Kelsey in the flat. He could have gave it to Rasheed over the, what's it called, literally
right in front of him. Right over the middle.
He just ran it up for himself, which was probably the best one. And even on the third and one, when he ran up the middle for the to get into the red zone before he gave it off to Kelsey. And then after that, which led to... The play that ended up winning the game, which was the same play that won the game last year.
The corn dog play, man. Oh my goodness, McCole was wide open,
bro.
Wide, didn't even get touched,
bro.
Oh man,
it was the same thing. That same whip route that they had come right back in. As soon as I snap this ball, you dart right back out, man. That was a game for the ages. That was one where you know, when Mahomes, when they threw that touchdown, I was jumping up.
I was like, no way! Yes, yo. Oh, my goodness, man. Patrick Mahomes, he's 101. 101.
Yeah, it's safe to say that we've already established this after the Baltimore game, but I think it's really safe to say that you can't put him in a category with anybody else that's active right now.
Mm-mm.
It's
not even close. No, you can't. Not anymore.
As much as we would like to, because it would be fun for the sake of the argument, mm-hmm. but you can't even, it's not even close. Like, even last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, after they won, I was still sitting there, I'm like, I don't think that we could really talk about him the way that we talk about Lamar, the way you talk about Josh and Joe and all of that.
Oh, no, like, no, we can't anymore. Mm-mm.
Now it's not even, now it's, you know, that's a close discussion now.
Yeah. Yeah, until he put the wall up.
Yeah, until somebody else can build up something, which would be hard to do
mm-hmm. because
of the amount of changes that are happening. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, he like you said, he's by himself.
Think about it; he led his team in rushing too.
Yeah, it's
9 carries for 66 yards.
Yeah,
like that's, and then you got Pacheco 15 carries for 59 yards. Like, you know, you got the bell cow workhorse, but when Patrick Mahomes needed to use his legs, yeah. he was able to do it so efficiently and, like, nowhere to go. And he was picking up a lot of extra yardage when they needed it,
correct.
Too.
You know, a lot of extra yardage. Talk about, yo, Travis Kelce, 1 yard in the first half. Next thing you know, end of the game, 9 receptions for 9.
Next thing, I just remember, like, when he caught that first pass, I think it was, like, over the middle, like, you know, Patrick might have been, like, coming outside the pocket, and he hit him. I was like, yep. It was, like, in the beginning of the third quarter, like, mid-third quarter. Yep. I was like, yep. I was like, Patrick knows he needs to get this ball to him. He knows it. You're not winning that game if Travis Kelce stays to that 1 to 2 or 3 receptions.
Right.
Yeah, you don't win that game.
He made sure that he got his man the ball,
mm-hmm.
and he did exactly what he needed to do.
Uh-huh.
A big shout-out to Rasheed Rice.
Yeah,
most receptions,
man,
by a rookie in the postseason, 26 receptions.
Mm-hmm.
That's big time right mm-hmm. there. And he had some pretty big plays, too.
Absolutely.
Coming down that stretch at mm-hmm. the end. I feel for San Fran. I'm not going to lie to you. I feel for San Fran. Second time.
Tough losses.
Yeah. Second time that you lost to Kansas City in a big game.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, just kind of the same fashion. You know, except for obviously you went to overtime this time, but yeah, kind of in the same fashion
yep.
where you had the lead, you know, you have the overall better team,
mm-hmm.
but you just can't get over the hump for some unknown reason.
It's like they're like, you know, they'll do so well up until the big game.
Literally.
Up until like the game really, really, really matters.
Literally. And the big thing was, it's not like they played bad. Like,
no, like, honestly, they did not play bad at all.
Brock played so well. He played like very well, in my opinion, to the point where I'm like, we don't really have any more questions mm-hmm. around him. It's just more the fact they're just getting over the hump.
Mm-hmm. Like, can you actually complete the task now?
Correct. Mm-hmm. It's getting over the hump as a team. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey, he was out there. He did everything that he could. 80 yards, both through the air and on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't know if you noticed it, but like by like the end, by like coming up to the end of that fourth quarter, he was wobbly,
mm-hmm.
getting up every single time.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't even, like, there were times where it looked like he couldn't even stand straight.
Because he was just getting hit so much, and like, he's probably so tired.
Yeah, he's running the ball so much and mm-hmm. basically putting that team on his back.
Mm-hmm.
So he was one that I for sure felt for. But going back to that overtime, when, you know, I'm pretty sure you've seen the clip. So
no, let's talk about it.
After the NFL finally released the clips. The biggest thing for me was when Coach Shanahan is sitting there in the microphone and going, "We're taking the ball first. We're taking the ball first. We're taking the ball first." And I'm like, really? You're going to take the ball first? You're going to let Patrick Mahomes get 4 downs instead of 3? Even though we already see what he could do.
I know, right? You saw, like, it don't even, oh my goodness.
But you're going to give him 4 downs to do whatever the heck he wants to do. That's one. 2, Kyle Juszczyk coming up into the huddle and going, yeah, even if they score a touchdown, I didn't know that they still get the ball. What do you mean you didn't know that they still get the ball?
How do you not know the overtime rules?
How
do you not know the overtime rules?
What's happening? And then come to find out, Chris Jones and them are like, oh yeah, we've been talking about this since July. July.
July.
Since training camp. That's what he said, since training camp. But training camp happens, training camp starts in July. So the fact that you've been talking about this since July,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about it in training camp, you know, you go through the season, whatever. Then after that, they said they talked about it again in the beginning of the playoffs. And then again, prepping for this game.
That shows how Andy Reid handles his preparation throughout the entire season and understands all facets of the game. Kyle Shanahan dropped the ball on that one. There's no other way around it.
He said his initial thinking was, get the ball, we score, and if anything, we get the ball a third time and we score again and we win.
But then now you got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and them coming out saying we was gonna go for two anyway.
Exactly. So that was my thing.
Like we was gonna end this game here now.
Even if you sit there and you think you're gonna get that 6+1, you do know that there's a 6+2 coming.
Exactly.
There's no way in the world that you're gonna sit here going back and forth with the Chiefs. I don't care who you are. As long as 1-5 is over there, there's no such thing as a back and forth.
No, there's no such thing
as a shootout.
My only thing too is, Cam, is the fact that he did it twice in one game. Patrick Mahomes came down at the end of the fourth quarter, got them.
If they didn't run out of time
in
the fourth quarter, they would score that touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Also, he missed Rashee Rice because he was too busy looking for Kelce on the left side. Mm-hmm. If he looked at Rashee Rice, if he peeked into the middle for like a millisecond, he would have Rashee Rice and he probably would have ended the game there. But yeah, no, they're lucky that there was an extra 10 seconds.
We saw what he did in 13 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Like a couple years ago.
Oh,
like,
yeah. And he had an eternity to get down the field on this one.
And then he does it. But then, okay, so then he, you know, OT comes. And then you let him touch the ball last.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I don't. Not me.
I'm like, nah, sir. You got it.
You gotta go get this.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he gets the two, then all right, then somehow, some way,
we gotta do the same thing.
That's what it is. And we're gonna have to live on down that moment. But you know what else too? Shout outs to the Chiefs defense too.
Yes. Shout out Steve Spagnuolo,
man. Shout out Steve Spagnuolo, Legarius Sneed.
Legarius Sneed.
Trent McDuffie was all over.
Trent. Even Chris, though. Chris was still doing his thing, too.
Chris was eating. Mm-hmm. Chris was eating. Kolaskis was eating. Mm-hmm. The linebackers, everybody was balling. My favorite thing that I seen was in the second half when they switched up their defense and they put five guys on the line to match it with the five on the Niners so that they could start getting their linebackers downhill so that Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel won't be able to get out of the backfield.
Yep.
That's how they stopped the run. And they were like, all right, as long as we stop the run and we force Brock Purdy
to throw the ball,
they trust their cornerbacks and their safeties that much to stick to their guys, which they did. Mm-hmm. Trent McDuffie was draped all over Deebo. Deebo,
he couldn't breathe at all.
Deebo couldn't breathe at all. Ayuk barely got to 49 yards.
Ayuk.
Brent Jennings was the only bright spot in that passing game.
Yeah.
And that was in the second half. That wasn't even first half. That was the second half mostly. So, yeah, no, that big hats off to that Chiefs defense because they rode on that Chiefs defense the whole year, and it was just the offense that just needed to plug in
exactly. And look what happened. They literally did. And that shows you that winning mentality.
Yeah.
That winning, like, dynasty championship organization that they have.
Correct. They never wavered. They never, you know what I mean? Like, it seemed like they were getting a little out of character here and there in the first half. But they, you know, you could tell the maturity. You could tell the leadership that they have in that locker room, starting with Patrick Mahomes, is the fact that he never let them get out of themselves.
Ever.
You know, he never let them get out of themselves. And everybody played, you know, one of the best game at the best time. But, man, yo.
I agree. I'm low-key sad that football is over.
I know, I'm sad too, yo. But it's all right. It's all right. In a couple months, we got the draft coming up. So,
yes, sir.
You know, a lot of big things happening. You already know the news is not going to stop dropping.
Oh, no.
Certain things happening. Obviously, with the draft, you know, coming up.
Some big names in the draft.
Going to drop and whatnot. So, yeah, no, I'm very, very excited for that goes. But Niners, before we get off football, Niners let go of their defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks, just a couple of days after the big game, which was very odd to me and a bunch of others. They will be losing assistant head coach and running back coach Anthony Lynn. He will become the run game coordinator for the Commanders.
Oh, wow.
Losing Clint Kubiak, who will be the Saints offensive coordinator. Assistant offensive line coach James Craig will be Raiders offensive line coach now. And assistant defensive line coach Daryl Tapp will become the Commanders defensive line coach.
Wow. That's like, I'm not going to say cleaning house, but you tidying up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? That's
not even clean house. That's just you losing because of because you made it to the
No. Like, I mean, shout out to those guys. Like, you know, they probably got better deals and all of that stuff. Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's just crazy to see that. Like, you know, you get there and then, like,
you
lose some, probably some essential guys in that locker room. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, big time coaches too.
Exactly.
Big time coaches. But that's gonna be very interesting to see how the Niners will what Shanahan will do, because like I said, the Steve Wilks one is just weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
You had one of the best defenses, and it wasn't the scheme that you're used to, but it's a scheme that carried you
mm-hmm.
to the big game. There's a bunch of other schemes out there that probably would have failed you. You know what I mean? So, but I digress. Moving on. So the NBA is officially about to kick off into All-Star Weekend.
Yes, sir.
But before we get into All-Star Weekend, something random as heck just happened on Wednesday night. So Pistons center Isaiah Stewart punched Suns center Drew Eubanks at the arena hours before the game played. Stewart was issued a citation and he was released by police. The two apparently were chest to chest before Stewart threw the punch.
Wow. That's just so random. Before the game?
You two, before the game?
Why are we all even, like, in the same hallway before the game? Go with your team, bro.
How do y'all even know each other like that?
What could y'all have possibly been beefing about?
Who's coming off the bench first? I don't know what to tell you. Like,
he said who's coming off the bench first.
This don't make no sense. Yeah. Don't make no sense. I got one guy that's fighting. I got one guy that's getting punched in the face. You got three all-timers on your team. And then I got Isaiah Stewart, who... he's just had bad luck with random guys.
You know? Just brawler. Just a brawler that like just has had bad luck.
Yeah, it's just random.
But, that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, like but I don't look, man, I don't know what to say about that one.
Again,
yes, because there was no like reading that Wednesday night. I was like, why?
Like again, before the game, like what are y'all doing? Don't you have shots to go put up? You know, plays to run before,
I
like...
I don't know.
Sir.
I just don't know.
Sir. Come on, guys. We're better than that.
I just don't know. But looking at the standings, in the Eastern Conference, so our top four, Celtics, Cavs, Bucks, Knicks. Actually, matter of fact, I'll just go through the whole thing. Got Sixers, got Pacers, and the play-in right now would be the Heat, the Magic, the Bulls, and the Hawks. It's tight. It's actually kind of tight in there.
You got in the play-in, yes.
Yeah, in the play-in. Yes. Play-in is pretty tight. You got the Heat and the Magic. They're tied up right now.
I can't believe I ain't never seen the Magic above 10 in God knows how long. Oh my good. Hey yo, shout out Paulo and them boys. Okay.
Yeah, yo, Paulo's going.
Paulo's going wild. Paulo's going stupid.
Nuts right now.
Him and Franz Wagner too. Wagner's nice.
Yo, he's somebody that I've watched a lot in college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when I tell you you ever want to find someone that could do literally everything, that is the person that could literally do everything.
He's one of those guys. He's one of those guys.
Long. He's quick on his feet. Mm-hmm. He could pass the ball. He could rebound. He could score. Mm-hmm. You know, he could get steals, get a couple blocks here and there.
Yep.
Yeah, man, that's one of my favorites right now to watch. The Magic, you know, that's a young team, but a team that can certainly make some noise.
Mm-hmm.
So anticipate to keep seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the play-in, they actually just had their first national television game with Paulo.
Wow.
Yeah. Their first national television game with Paulo was on Tuesday.
That's crazy. It's okay. No, he's going to put him back on the map.
Another one. The Knicks, only half a game above the Sixers in fifth.
Yes, but I will say that they can catch Milwaukee at the end of the season. They can catch them.
Milwaukee, shoot. If they could play their cards right, we talking. I keep saying this, and I'm down this hill. I think that they could go get that number one or number two spot.
They 10 games behind first place, and the Celtics they've beaten up on teams.
Yeah, they're beating up on teams now.
Now you're right.
I put it to you like this: I'm not really afraid of the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the Knicks, if I'm a Cavs, if I'm a Bucks, I'm not OD afraid of the Celtics. They show flashes of who they truly are.
You're right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you come in with a certain mentality, you know, they going...
Mm-hmm. They might fold. Yeah. They might bend. They might break a little bit.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, with Miami last year.
You know, exactly.
You know, they Miami came in with a, we gonna bust your head open type of mentality, and they couldn't do nothing about it. So, yeah, no, I still think that the Knicks can get up there. We'll see if Milwaukee can turn it around. That's a tough thing to do with a new head coach.
A new head coach.
Like, it's almost, it's
no defense
impossible.
Being played, though, either. That's why I'm saying the Knicks can definitely overtake Milwaukee.
They'll definitely overtake Milwaukee. I think that they can at least rival Cleveland.
Absolutely.
For that number two spot.
Absolutely.
I think that they can low-key get just past them. Mm-hmm. But Cleveland has been another team that's just hot right now. And
Cleveland's too. Real hot. Donovan Mitchell doing his thing.
Yeah, he looked good right now. Pacers, I hope that they could get, you know, a little bit of rest. Hopefully, you know, Halliburton can come back somewhat normal after the break.
Yeah.
Because of just how good he has been. So.
It's important that he plays the way he was playing in the beginning of the season, like the last 20 games of this season.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they most definitely will need that.
Philly, I don't know about Philly either.
Yeah, no, Philly, that's a question mark. But they got a big win the other night versus, what's their faces? It didn't even come
they
up.
Play...
Oh, they got a big win against Cleveland the other night. So, yeah, that's going to be... It's going to be interesting to see how they do coming out. No Joel.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's really going to come down to like, you know, how Tyrese is going to play.
Plays,
how Buddy Hield, he was the highest scoring player in that win against Cleveland. 24 points. Like, you know, that boy can shoot. We knew that, though.
Yeah,
we knew that, though.
He's going to have to keep shooting, too. Kelly Oubre is going to have to step up.
Kelly Oubre definitely got to step up. He dropped 24, too, though.
Yeah, but you know how he is, though.
He is. That man is. You want to talk about a roller coaster? That man's a
definition of streaky.
Oh my goodness!
The strict definition of streaky. What? 11 points. So 11 points against Golden State. 28 against Atlanta. 16 against Washington. 24 against Cleveland. 9 against Miami.
9 against Miami.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Come on, bro. You were averaging 20. 9. Come on.
You see what I mean? Like it's there, but then it's not. It's there, but then it's not. It's like a stop and go.
Yep.
But yeah, no, the East is looking good. Like I'm liking the way that it's shaping out. Moving on to the West, we got the surprise team of Minnesota still rocking out in that number one spot.
OKC right behind them.
Yeah, Thunder right behind them, one game back. Clippers had a game and a half back of Minnesota. Got Denver two and a half games back. So yeah, that's a tough four, right?
You want to talk about tight now. Those
race.
First six spots are tight.
That's a race right there. And then you got the Suns and Pelicans both tied up together. Dallas is just a game behind both of them. With Sacramento, a game and a half behind them. The Lakers only a couple games back, and then you know the Warriors trying to make their run. So. And then Utah is, you know, on the outside looking in. So
absolutely.
The West is another one. The West is tight, though. Tight.
And, like, you know, I just want to go back to Golden State real quick. Like, Steph has been trying his heart out, yo.
The first player in NBA history to have 7+ threes made in the last four games.
He is trying. You could tell, though, that they got, with Draymond coming back, though,
they got some
energy now.
They got their juice back, for
they
sure.
needed that person in the locker room and on the court that's going to be like, let's go right here, right now, on site.
He was making some gesture to somebody during the Clippers game Wednesday night, and I don't know what he was trying to do. He was just sitting there. It was the weirdest thing ever. He was just sitting there. He was like,
yeah, you see that too, right? Okay, yeah.
I thought
are you cursing somebody out?
What are you doing? What is this gesture? I was like, oh my God, someone get him, please. Please.
He's on the loose again, guys. Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. But no, that, I like where Golden State's going. No, you heard the news of, Golden State tried to get Bron.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I'm pretty sure everybody heard that news.
That would have, as a Laker fan, that's kind of funny because I would have only been excited just because we would have got Kuminga.
I know. But that's exactly why the Warriors are like, yeah, nope, not happening.
But you give me Kuminga, I take Wiggins off your hands. Give me some draft picks. Clay would more than likely be coming too. Give me one more player. One more player at your disposal. After that,
Moody or somebody like
Yeah, another young kid like Moody or somebody like that. Because I know they wouldn't put the Brandon kid in.
Mm-mm.
And yeah, no, I know they wouldn't do that at all. Yeah, no, a Moody would be good. Maybe, you know, Jackson Davis.
Yo, yeah, yeah. But Bron to Golden State, man, that would have been crazy.
That'd be something. They just wouldn't have no depth.
It would be a terrible, like, bench squad.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that'd be something, though. If they, those two were.
It's a nice hypothetical. Yeah. It's a nice hypothetical.
Yeah. It's cool to sit there and think about. Cool to sit there and think about. But if we're really being honest, the only time we're really going to see those two together is when they play.
Like East versus West.
Yeah, East versus West or Team USA.
Yeah, exactly. And even on Bron's side, real quick, like you would, you know, the Lakers are 30-26. Yeah. You know, Golden State is 26-26. Like you're taking a step back.
Yeah.
And not taking a step forward.
Correct.
And again, like you said, Golden State, even I would even argue now, like they're like teetering on the edge of having depth.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
I would say like when Chris Paul like was in, like, and he was healthy and he was in, coming in with that second unit, mm-hmm. like I would say that they were gelling, but then Chris Paul, like, you know, he got hurt, which is like, you know, an every year thing at this point.
Right.
So like I just think like Bron, absolutely, you know, he's a businessman, he's so smart, he did the right thing.
He's gonna understand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I agree. He did the right thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like your team. I wouldn't count them out. I'm not going to say that they're a championship team or whatever, but I will tell you that if they get in.
They were right there last year. Yeah. They were this close.
They get in with the same team, basically. It's not a team I want to see now.
No.
Everyone's got their confidence up. Everyone looks actually really good. Mm-hmm. The team looks good. Actually, better without Bron on it.
AD doing his thing this entire season, man. His entire first half of the season, he doing his thing.
They got him at like fifth or sixth in the defensive player of the year conversation. I think he should be higher than that.
I would say like top three easily, top two.
Yeah, they got Chet and Wemby ahead of him. I don't understand that.
I mean, Wemby did just have like 10 blocks, triple double. That was kind of crazy. Yeah, that was kind of crazy. Was wild.
I can't even hide on that one. I can't even hide on that.
Nah, but I'm giving it to AD. Yeah, San Antonio's 11-44. What defense is he playing? Come on now.
That whoever defense. Whoever's in front of you, just get the
just guard him.
Oh man. Yes, this is our end to this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed just as much as we did. Next week, you know, we're going to start taking a deeper dive into college basketball, and getting back into, you know, that final race for those final spots in the NBA. So, yeah, more than excited for what's coming up in the future.
Plenty to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to cover it all.
But till then, you already know what time it is. It's Cam.
Kyle.
Later.